Time to talk some Red Box Bowl. Get the view from the Spartan side. He covers Michigan State football and hoops for the legendary Detroit Free Press online. FreeP.com. You can follow along on Twitter. Try the handle at Chris Solari. Well, that eliminates the mystery. We welcome in Chris Solari. Chris, much appreciate the time. How are you doing during this most festive of seasons?
I'm doing well, Steve. It's good to talk to you from here in San Francisco. I just got in last night, and beautiful day, beautiful weather compared to what I left, although it is about 50 degrees back in Michigan, so apparently I had to come to 50-degree weather for them to get it there.
Well, at least you brought an extra kind of carry-on bag filled with decent weather.
Yes.
How about two general thoughts? Michigan State went through a remarkable period. They won a Rose Bowl. They were in the college football playoff. They won at least 11 games 5 or 6 years. You know, they dipped 2 years ago, then back to 10 last year. I know this media poll this year had them tight with Michigan and Penn State behind Ohio State. But as the season started from your chair, what did you think was reasonable to expect from this team for 2018?
Well, in August, I had them winning, I believe, 11 games in the regular season and just missing out with one loss. That loss, I had them losing to Penn State, which, of course, they ended up winning that game. But that was before all these injuries happened, and I think that's kind of been a pivotal thing of this Michigan State season. I mean, they opened the season without their starting cornerback, Josiah Scott, who was a freshman All-American a year ago, and the defense was fine, but it was everything that happened on offense. It was starting with losing Cole Chewins, the starting left tackle, before the season began, and he started out the season injured and limited, and then they started shuffling offensive linemen around. I think they had, out of the 12 games, I believe they had 10 different starting groups on the offensive line, 9 or 10 different starting groups. That was kind of the first thing, and then you start losing L.J. Scott in the second game at Arizona State, and pretty much he was a non-factor the whole season at running back. Then you start losing receivers. I think Felton Davis was out for the year at the Michigan game, and they lost Daryl Stewart and lost Cody White to a broken hand for about 5 games. So that was your top 3 receivers, and that doesn't even go into the about 4 or 5 depth guys behind him who got hurt and had to miss time. Then Brian Lewerke hurt his shoulder at Penn State and was never the same quarterback. It was just a one after another, and you thought that, boy, I'm writing a lot about injuries. I'm writing a lot about offensive line issues. And, you know, that was the prevailing theme from basically game one throughout.
Yeah, I wanted to get into some of the specifics there. And obviously, you mentioned Brian Lewerke. He was a second-year starter. He got hurt in the Michigan game. Rocky Lombardi, the redshirt, came in, made some starts. They split time. The offense, obviously, like you said, for a lot of reasons, struggled. So what have we learned heading into this game about the quarterback situation? Have we learned who would even start heading into this one?
Yeah, Mark Antonio said today that Brian Lewerke will start the Red Box Bowl. And to me, it sounds like he will play extensively throughout this game, if not the entire game. So I think that's one thing, one of the big mysteries that we've been dealing with since the end of November when he missed the final 2 games of the regular season. Now, how healthy his shoulder is, how well he throws the ball, how much accuracy he can throw it with, those all remain to be seen because we have not seen him throw a pass since the Ohio State game. And I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, in the Michigan game, in the Ohio State game, 2 games that Lewerke was playing with a bad shoulder and having trouble with, not so much with velocity, but with his accuracy with the ball, Michigan State's defense kept them in both of those games.
Yep.
Into the fourth quarter. And, you know, I mean, the defense has been playing at such an elite level. And I think that, you know, in talking to a couple of the offensive players, I think Shane Lemieux today talked about how good Michigan State's defensive front was. He compared them. He said before watching tape and digging in, he was comparing it to Washington. He said they were much better than that. So, I mean, this is the number one run defense in the country, but it's had to cover up a lot of those problems on the offensive side that happened with Lewerke's injury and everything other than that as well.
We're talking with Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. I said I had one more general question. That in-state rivalry, I think most neutral fans think about the Big Ten and it's Ohio State and Michigan, but over the years and speaking with fans and media, and obviously Oregon's played Michigan State a couple times recently, the venom between the Spartans and Wolverines, as somebody who lives there and covers it, I mean, how heated does State versus the Maize and Blue get?
Well, it's always been one of those rivalries that basically is a blood feud. You guys know that out there with Oregon State, how it can be. But I do think that it's become really toxic maybe the last 3 years, in part because of Jim Harbaugh coming back and helping Michigan along, and Michigan State fans and supporters feeling slighted with the attention that Harbaugh got, but also because I think that as Michigan has become more competitive under Harbaugh and you know, got 2 wins out of the 4 against D'Antonio, I do think that it's certainly, you're starting to see the out-of-the-woodwork Michigan fans that weren't talking about the rivalry now talking about it like it is the Ohio State game. I mean, I think it maybe took the last decade. You know, we talk about the 70s and the Bo and Woody era of how that basically revived or created and put that Michigan-Ohio State rivalry as one of the best in sports. This has really changed the dynamic of this rivalry. I mean, that period from basically the 70s all the way through maybe the early 2010s, Michigan refused to acknowledge Michigan State as a primary and true rival. And it pretty much, D'Antonio and his winning against them over the past decade, 12 years, has really forced them to reevaluate that and put more an emphasis on it. It's good for fans, but I mean, for us, it's venomous. You can say that. That's a light way to put it.
Yeah, I always say the weekend scene in the Big Chill is Michigan State, not Michigan Ohio State. And the writer was a Michigan grad, so he obviously felt that as well. With Chris Solari, the Detroit Free Press. You mentioned it, and the devastating injuries. You know, here at Oregon, there's a go-to receiver in Dylan Mitchell. After that, a lot of inconsistency. You talked about the injury to Felton Davis, who went down for the year and who's missed time. But, Chris, for Duck fans who aren't familiar, who are some of the guys that will be targeted catching the ball that we need to become more familiar with?
Yeah, Davis was the guy who's got the megawatt personality, the long dreads, and the ability to, and size to make defensive backs look foolish. And, you know, he blew his Achilles out, and he's going to be gone. But Cody White's back. He's a guy that really just an athletic freak kind of guy, a multi-sport guy. He's only a second-year sophomore, but really has acclimated himself as Brian Lewerke's go-to target downfield at times early in the season when Davis was there. He's kind of got to build that rhythm back maybe a little bit more. He came back after the Lewerke's injury, so they've been off the same page a little bit. But early in the year, he was stretching and extending the field. Darryl Stewart's a guy out of the slot. Mentioned him earlier. He's been able to get some wiggle and do some things in crossing routes and make people miss there. So those two guys are back and they've been healthy. I think the one guy to keep an eye on who has potentially some game-breaking speed is a guy, Jalen Naylor, who he's a true freshman out of Vegas, who has had a couple moments this year in the Indiana game and in the Rutgers, one of the other games late in the season where he broke off a big touchdown run. He's a guy they use in jet sweeps, a guy that they like as a receiver, but again, he's another one of those receivers who's been banged up quite a bit, but someone that I think coming out of a month of healing and rest should be one of those guys to keep an eye on.
Good info. We mentioned one area where this team does not lack is defense. I mean, they allowed 30 points once this year. That's a rarity in 2018. You wrote about him earlier this week, Kenny Willekes. So again, for those who mainly follow Oregon, Pac-12, don't know his story. So he wasn't even recruited at this level. And, you know, you see him game in, game out. How special is this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he has really turned himself into an elite pass rusher. I think that's important to keep in mind because this is a kid who came in as a linebacker recruit, not even a recruit, a linebacker walk-on. And then the funny part of the story with him is he was on his way back from a visit to a D2 school in Detroit and just stopped into Michigan State's office with one of his friends and told the staff, hey, I got a walk-on offer at Minnesota. And they were like, no, you should do that here. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's out of necessity because they lost two guys in Austin Robertson and Josh King who were involved in separate sexual assault cases and dismissed from the program by D'Antonio. They lost a lot of depth at defensive end. And last year, Willekes kind of came out of nowhere and really became an anchor. And I think we've seen him develop not only as a pass rusher, but he plays some technically sound football for an edge guy. That was evident against Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, I think, and against some of those option-based quarterbacks. There have been times where he has just been in the right place and making himself he won't get deked out, but he can still get to the quarterback. So he's kind of been a freak on that defensive line. You know, he's one of those guys that we're still kind of waiting to see what his next step will be because, you know, here's a kid who went from a no-star walk-on to potentially to a point where he's going to have to make a decision about whether or not he's going to go to the NFL draft a year early, kind of like Jalen Jelks did last year. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting story with that kid.
No, that's a great story. A couple final thoughts for Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. Offensively, Oregon likes to mix it up. They're not really run or pass heavy. They got two great young backs. I always like to get an evaluation of the linebackers they'll face. The starting trio of MSU got a lot of experience. What kind of season, what kind of unit is this group that Mike Tressel runs out there?
They're quick. They're hitters. They play downhill really well. Joe Bocci, he kind of continues that tradition of the Bulla family at the middle linebacker. He's actually, I believe, last I knew, dating Bulla's younger sisters, but that's neither here nor there. So he's kind of an adoptive member of that Bulla family. But, I mean, him and Andrew Dowell and Tyreek Thompson played a lot of football. And, you know, Bocci goes sideline to sideline as good as any middle linebacker I've seen at Michigan State. And Andrew Dowell can play in space. I think Antoine Simmons is another guy in the depth. I mean, they got a lot of depth at linebacker. They use Antoine Simmons at the weak side. They use John Reschke, who's a sixth-year senior at the Sam spot behind Thompson a lot. Brandon Randall is a pass rusher. You know, he'll play hand in the ground at end in our third down package. But he's also seeing time at linebacker and moves really well. So it's an athletic group that will hit you. There's no question about that. And, you know, they're able to do that because that defensive line, when we talk about Willekes, you can't mention Willekes without mentioning the job the guys inside, Mike Panasiuk and Raekwon Williams, have done at the point of attack. Because everything that starts with that defense in pass coverage and what the linebackers and defensive ends can do all starts in the middle. And those two guys are maybe the best set of defensive tackles Michigan State has had under Mark Antonio.
Wow, that's saying something.
Yeah.
And I want to close with this, kind of the view from outside. You know, we live here in the Oregon bubble. We know what a lot of the media and Duck fans think of this team. But, you know, you get to talk with coaches, players, you know when you've been playing Oregon for almost a month now, what you've seen on TV or film. What's the take on the type of Oregon team Michigan State is going to face in this one?
Well, I think they're impressed. You know, I'm talking to Mark Antonio today. He's impressed with the discipline that Mario Cristobal has instilled so early in his program. And I think that those words in particular, those trace all the way back to Nick Saban, who was kind of a mentor for both of them. I mean, D'Antonio was an assistant under Saban at MSU. Cristobal was an assistant at Alabama recently. Bobby Williams, another guy that, you know, he was a coach at Michigan State. He's got some inner workings of D'Antonio's mind and also the culture at Michigan State that he brings to this game. So I think that there's and clearly those two games that they played in 2014 and 15 are still on people's minds and tongues over the past few years. So they understand and know that Oregon plays in similar style. But I think the one thing that they've been very impressed about, not just the discipline, but the point of attack on the offensive side, I think Cristobal and the job he's done as being an offensive line coach with that group has really impressed them with the ability they have, like you said, to both move the ball through the air with a guy like Justin Herbert and on the ground. I think that's kind of the interesting thing. Now that Herbert's coming back, and Shane Lemieux today said that he's coming back for his senior year as well for you guys, I think that that's going to be a team to watch next year as maybe being a dark horse for the national title. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of what 2019 will bring for these two teams when they face off here Monday.
Terrific. Some great insight and information. Folks, he's Chris Solaria, the Detroit Free Press online, freep.com on Twitter. The handle is at Chris Solari. Hey, we really appreciate you finding some time to talk with us. Enjoy the next couple days, and you travel safe back to your home.
All right, thanks. Hopefully it'll be a good game for everyone to watch.
All right. Hey, thanks, Chris.